Greetings, urban farmers, gardeners, and healthy food visionaries. Farmer Greg here, and welcome to the 817th episode of the Urban Farm Podcast, where every day we work together to educate and inspire you to become part of your food revolution. Today's episode is a replay of our monthly Rosie on the House radio show in Phoenix, Arizona. And today we will be chatting with me about how to grow healthy soil for your garden and why that's important. Enjoy.
Rosie on the House, every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
Come on around back, Arizona, Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, the outdoor living hour of Rosie on the House. Your Saturday morning tradition since 1988. And if you're following along in your Rosie on the House annual homeowner handbook, calendar, and referral directory, today, the fourth Saturday of the month, we're talking desert soil building in our urban farming hour. And to host that, Farmer Greg is joining us. Good morning, Farmer Greg.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me yet again. I was just looking at this. We've been doing these with us since 2018.
It's been a while. I felt it was even longer than that.
It might have been. I could track it back then. So thanks for the opportunity. I love sharing what we've learned about growing food in the desert with everybody.
And we've talked about soil before, but we've never spent a whole hour on it. And you were saying just before we got started, the amount of time you spent developing the talking points for this hour and for each segment. Mm-hmm. This is beyond soil building 101.
Well, the most important thing that you can be building in your garden is healthy soil. We've been starting to build out our gardens here in North Carolina, and we're going to talk about raised beds in a little while, but I'll spend $30 on the wood and screws to put together a 4x8 foot raised bed garden bed, and I'll spend $300 to put the soil in it. And so I'll leave everybody with that, and we're going to decipher over the course of the next hour what I did and why that's important.
And so I know you have different types and applications, whether it's a raised bed garden that we're going into or direct ground, and each one has its different application. But this recipe for soil building that we're going to go through today, you could apply that to either case.
And even your fruit trees, getting your fruit trees planted in the ground or non-fruit trees, really anything you're growing, this stuff applies to.
And when it comes to the desert, we have how much organic matter in our soil?
We have about 0.5% of organic matter by weight and volume in desert soil. And to make healthy soil, we have to super energize that amount of organic matter in the soil. And healthy soil is really what we're going after. Healthy soil does multiple things for us. First of all, it holds water like a sponge. And this was really curious. This goes back a decade. In 2014, in September, I think it was September 19th, we got 3 inches of rain in the Phoenix metropolitan area in a 4-hour period. And while everybody was flooding, the urban farm soaked it up. We got 29,000 gallons of water that fell at the urban farm in that 3-hour period, and there were no puddles. And it was because of the work that I did for decades at building healthy soil. So healthy soil holds water like a sponge. And at the interface, so if you're adding woody mulch to your garden, which we're going to talk about, if you're adding woody mulch at that interface between the dirt and the woody mulch, it starts making really healthy soil really quickly. This healthy soil holds a massive amount of life. And I'm not just talking about microbial life or mushrooms, ants. And I get this question a lot. I've got ants in my garden. How do I kill them? And the thing is, ants are aerators. They aerate the soil. They're pollinators. So unless they're doing something specifically wrong in your space, just let them be. Because that's part of the health of the soil with everything that's alive. So I want to jump the 5 components of healthy soil. Romy, I'm going to throw that at you. What's one of them?
Everything living.
Everything that's alive in the soil. And that's the biggest thing that's missing in our dirt around the valley, around the Southwest, is the life in the soil. And the cool thing is the fix is really simple, and that's add lots and lots of organic matter. So the five components of healthy soil are dirt, airspace, water, organic matter, and everything that's alive in the soil.
When you were talking about ants earlier, that's where you talked about them being a pollinator, but they're creating air space in the soil with their tunneling.
Exactly. And from a certain perspective, termites do the same thing. And we don't want termites around our space. And I absolutely treated them at the urban farm and here, but they're creating airspace in the soil.
You are the first time I've ever had a host in the Outdoor Living Hour say, leave ants alone in your garden. I don't know that we've ever had that question either, but we've talked about ant control plenty, but yeah. I never thought of that. Yeah, if you can work in your garden without getting eaten alive by them, let them be.
Exactly. Okay. Now, and what I found at the urban farm, and the urban farm, for those of you that don't know, is near 16th Street in Glendale in Phoenix, and I lived there for 32 years. And there was only two instances where I need on the outside where I needed to treat for ants because they were biting ants and they were right where we were working at all the time. And I quite honestly, sorry, ants, I'm apologizing in advance, even that I did it a long time ago. What I did is I took a pitchfork and I pitchforked up the area that they were nesting in, took some hot water and I just poured it on it and it handled the problem immediately. But
I hate killing ants, too. I'll be honest with you. Now, we treat them by the horses to keep them down from there. But when you watch them, those are hardworking suckers.
They are.
And they never stop. Them and bees, they are very impressive.
Yeah, exactly.
So back to our five components. Sorry, I didn't mean to screw you on that. Okay. But when you hit airspace and you just mentioned ants, that those two dots connected for me.
Exactly. Well, this thing about ickies in our gardens that we need to get rid of, the bugs or weeds. We're going to talk about weeds in a while. Mushrooms, most of them, 95% of them aren't bad. And I can't tell you how often I get people coming to me and saying, oh my gosh, I have mushrooms growing in my yard. How do I kill them? Or have ants growing in my yard. How do I kill them? And I'm trying to shift that mindset to, oh my gosh, I have this growing in my garden. What is it? Figure it out what it is and if there's a benefit for it, because nature put it there, there's likely some kind of benefit. And I have an interesting weed thing that I do that typically freaks people out. We're going to talk about that in the third segment, I think.
Okay.
But all of this contributes to the soil health, and the soil health is microbial. It's microbes, it's funguses, it's mushrooms, funguses, it's small animals, gophers. I know we don't like to have gophers in our yard, but they're aerating the soil. Anything that helps us build soil health, I think is a good thing. And like with gophers, sometimes you have to manage it. And that soil health is really what has the plants thrive. The healthier your soil, the healthier your plants, the healthier your plants, the healthier the food is that's coming off of those plants that's going into your body. So I get a call from this person recently, and they have a dirt backyard, just plain dirt backyard. And I see this on Facebook all the time as well. What do I do with my dirt backyard? And I have a prescription for a dirt backyard, which if you're interested in growing things, this is a really simple thing to do. And the first thing you want to do is you want to prep and install infrastructure, any water or electric.
And always do more than you think you're going to need.
Exactly. The crazy thing is they usually in the backyard, they put in one spigot. That's it.
That's what we have in ours. And I've got a water hose and out to the garden, a water hose out to a little portable evap cooler that's under the shade tree, a hose out to the pool. I've got these four ways off the spigot. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. So what I suggest that people do, if they have just a bare dirt backyard, what kind of infrastructure do you want? And as you said earlier, put in more than you think you want. I am a big fan of around a backyard, about every 50 or feet so around the periphery, having a spigot. So that requires that you get a ditch witch or dig ditches and put PVC in for water around your backyard. And I always suggest that when people are doing that, given you have the trenches open, put in conduit. What's conduit for?
Electrical and low voltage. It could be for speakers. It could be for a casita. It could be for whatever.
Chicken coop.
Chicken coop. Absolutely. But while the trench is open, put the conduit, and they usually put like mule tape in it so they can pull the wires through later. You don't want to be digging up your ground after you've got all this prep work done. So over infrastructure. And when the trench is open, the conduit is so cheap.
Right? Exactly. And interestingly, at the urban farm, when I put out water to the chicken coop maybe 15 years ago, I put some conduit out there. And 8-9 years later, I came back and I put something in the conduit, which was electrical out to the chicken coop. It was beautiful to have. And you're right. When the trenches are open, that is so cheap. So put your water and electrical infrastructure in, get it, the trenches filled back in, and then put 6 to 12 inches of woody mulch over the entire area.
6 to 12, entire backyard.
Yep, the entire backyard.
All right. We can do a lot here, but we can't stop the clock. When we get back, we're going to talk about where to get 6 inches of woody mulch for your backyard. Continuing our conversation about desert soil building with Farmer Greg and the Urban Farm Hour here at Rosie on the House. And we were just talking about putting 6 to 12 inches of woody mulch in the backyard. If all we have is dirt after, of course, our infrastructure build out, where do you get 6 to 12 inches? Because I mean, that's a lot of sack bags. And if you don't have a truck or a car, you know, how many trips in a trunk would it take to bring that many bags to your house?
Dozens to hundreds. Yeah, it's amazing how quickly it gets used up once you have it. So I have a free way to get it. It's called shipdrop.com. We've talked about them before. It's a website that connects you with tree services in your area. And it's a free service to set up if you want to throw some love to the people that are delivering the woody mulch. I always do. I always think I put $40 down for them for the load.
Oh, nice.
What you're going to get, though, is 20 cubic yards. That is a pile that's 8 feet wide, 4 feet tall, and probably 20 feet long.
And these are the arborists and city workers that you see cutting tree limbs, and they've got a chipper machine that shoots those chips right into the back of their truck. They have to take that to the dump, and they have to pay to dump it.
And it's not cheap.
And this really unique website, chipdrop.com, says, well, instead of just sending all of this great chipped mulch to a landfill, let's put it where it is in use. People looking to grow. And like you said, they'll come drop it off. Now, you can't like say, I need it tomorrow, or I'm going to set up my reoccurring delivery date, or I only want 5 cubic yards. Like you said, you're getting 20. So there's some caveat to it, but
it's free.
It's free. And depending on access to your yard, just have it, put it in a pile, even if it takes you 3 or 4 years to go through it all, depending on your yard size. So what? It'll even be better in that couple years down the road as it's had time to decompose and compost naturally.
Exactly, because that's the big thing. That interface between the dirt and the woody mulch, it turns into healthy soil really, really fast. I've been doing this here now for a little over a year, where I've been putting down woody mulch, and I had to dig up one of the retaining walls that I put in a couple of weeks ago, and 3 inches down, the woody mulch was no longer woody mulch. It was nice, healthy soil.
And how
it's going to happen?
How long was that time?
About a year.
Okay.
So that's Chip Drop is one place to get them. And if you have a decent sized backyard, 20 cubic yards isn't going to go very far. I call it my gym membership when they drop it. The other thing is the last load that I got here, and the last load, one of the loads, last loads that I got when I was in Phoenix, I just heard a chipper mulcher in the background. And so when I heard the chipper mulcher going off, I just got curious and I went and found where they were chipping and mulching. And the last load here I got was a splunge. You've probably seen a splunge trucks around. Their national tree company that does chipping and mulching and tree service for the power companies.
Okay, and I'm not familiar with them, but okay.
Yeah, and I just went and said to the guy, I'll take it if you want to drop it. And he said, wow, I just had to, that just saved me 3 hours of driving.
So he was happy to do it.
He was happy to do it, exactly. And I usually slip him 20 or 40 bucks and thank him and encourages him for next time.
And that you mentioned utility, that's something funny, you know, you don't think of an arborist being employed at a utility company, but they got to keep the tree lines clear of the power lines, and they generally manage that all in-house.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the other things all this woody mulch does, besides building healthy soil long-term, holding water like a sponge, it cuts down on the dust. I have been doing virtual consults with people for over a decade, and I can't tell you how many people I've coached to put woody mulch in their backyard, and they come back and tell me, oh my gosh, the level of dust in my house dropped dramatically.
It absolutely does. And we've got this 6 inches of mulch. Mm-hmm. That's not really planting soil. So what do we do with it now?
We're going to talk about that in depth in the next segment.
Okay.
But what that woody mulch is doing, and I really encourage 6 to 12 inches of woody mulch, because if you put in 12 inches of woody mulch, it's going to be 6 inches in a year, and it's going to be building really healthy soil. So if you have this dirt backyard and your goal long term is to have nice gardens back there and having fruit trees growing and a nice lush backyard, first of all, you can do that in the desert, because if you're building that much healthy soil, it's going to support a landscape that holds water and that nurtures all these plants.
And one other thing it does is, and I know you're going to get to this, but the reason I wanted to bring it up is because the beginning of the year, our first Urban Farming Hour of 2024, you had Kristen Parsons of Cultivated in. And we were talking about, I can't remember what it was, but I'm like, how do you manage your weeds? And she's like, if you mulch, you really don't have to.
Yeah.
She sung the answer. And even when they do grow occasionally, they are so easy to pull out. The weed does not have a good – pulling it out of the clay, that's a challenge. Pulling it out of loose mulch, there's
– piece of cake.
Your kid can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right, so now that we've got a backyard 6 to 12 inches full of woody mulch, what to do next? We'll talk about that after bottom of the hour news break. More Rosie on the House right after this. Welcome back to Rosie on the House. If you're just joining us, it's the fourth Saturday of the month. We're talking urban farming with Farmer Greg, and desert soil building is our topic for today. And one thing that I wanted to mention, because we're getting into swimming season, and Farmer Greg just told everybody, dump 6 to 12 inches of mulch in your backyard. If you have a pool or plans for a pool, this still applies. This isn't stuff that's going to easily just blow into your pool, even with the monsoon. The dust is going to blow in a lot more than a few little chips might. Those of us without pools, if you've got a pool, this applies.
Absolutely. So let's talk, you mentioned it earlier about starting your gardens. I'm a big proponent of growing all your own food. And in fact, that's one of the reasons I wanted to move to a farm, is to see how much of my own food I could grow. And so starting with gardens, all of my gardens, in fact, at the urban farm were in the ground. And that's something that I developed over 32 years. So if you have 5 or 10 years to develop in-ground gardens, you can go for it. You dig out the Bermuda grass and the nut grass and other weeds and start supplementing the soil. And I am not a huge fan of raised bed gardens, except for when you're getting started. Because what you can do with a raised bed garden is you and I build them out of wood, and you raise them 8 to 12, 16 inches tall off the ground, and then you fill them with really healthy soil. And that gives you a jump start of being able to grow a healthy garden because you have healthy soil in place. I'll spend $30 on a 4x8, I mentioned this earlier, on a 4x8 garden bed, and I'll put $200 to $300 worth of soil in that bed. And people go, hold on, what? The thing is, you only have to do it once. And then in the following years, you just add a little bit of compost to the top. So this is a one-shot deal. And you get what you pay for when it comes to soil. If you put cheap soil in there, your plants aren't going to grow. And remember what we talked about earlier, the healthier the plants, the healthier the food. And you get that by adding healthy soil to your gardens. The big caveat is don't buy topsoil.
Okay.
Topsoil, and I just called, if I told you who I talked to this morning, everybody would know them. I called them this morning and I said, do you have topsoil? They said, yes. And topsoil is supposed to be the soil on the top 6 to 12 inches, and it has some organic matter in it and so on. And I said, tell me about the topsoil. And she said, it's screened dirt. And what I've said for years is that topsoil is the stuff they dig out of swimming pools. That's where a lot of it comes from. And I promise you, if you live in the desert Southwest, you have so much of that screened dirt, you do not
need to be buying it.
You do not need to be paying for it. You do not need to be hauling it to your house. So if you ask somebody about their planting mix, if it has topsoil or sand in it, walk away.
Okay. Because
you got plenty of it. You got plenty of that. So what makes a healthy planting mix is a mixture of different things. Compost, for sure. And compost is broken down food matter, leaves, sticks, woody mulch. So there's compost. Another additive is in healthy soil is coco core. Those are coconut husks that have been shredded up into this fine powder that holds water like you wouldn't believe. Perlite or vermiculite is like a sponge in the soil. And then aged manure and worm castings. That's basically what you want to be adding to your garden beds, a mixture of all that. And Arizona Worm Farm is a great place to get it. Tanks, green stuff down at Tucson is a great place to get it. You were going to say?
So you answered. I'm like, all these different materials, am I buying them all individually, mixing them? Or is there soil providers that has this recipe?
Yeah, it's both Arizona Worm Farm and Tanks make it for you. You can make your own. Remember Kari Spencer? She's been on the show before. She's a great gardener here in Phoenix. She makes her own. So you can do that, or you can just buy it already made. Here's the thing you need to, this is the great big caveat. You need to know what is in those materials. So if you're buying from a Tanks or an Arizona Worm Farm, they're controlling what's going into that. And listeners are maybe saying, well, hold on, what's he talking about here? If you're using steer, cow, or horse manure, you need to make sure that you know what these animals are getting fed. Because if you're feeding them non-organic feed that has been sprayed with glyphosate, that glyphosate is going through the animal out into their manure, and you're bringing that glyphosate home and you're putting it into your garden.
And then on the manure, it's got a certain amount of dry out time.
And there's the other thing. It needs to be aged or composted. But the first big thing is make sure that you know what they're getting fed. Because if you do an internet search, you'll find all kinds of people that have used manures on their gardens and it killed their gardens because of the persistent herbicides that are in the manure. So be careful of that.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's something we have to pay attention to. The other thing is if you're using straw, or hay. Those can also have persistent herbicides in them. I used to use alfalfa hay 20 years ago in my garden at the urban farm. I don't anymore unless I know I can get it certified organic, because I know they won't be spraying it with Roundup or glyphosate that could be coming into my garden. And if that happens, you're basically setting yourself up for failure.
Introducing a chemical that was designed to kill things.
Yeah, exactly. So just be aware of that. Since I've gotten here to our new farm here in North Carolina, I probably spent close to $2,000 on soil. I get it from a place called Dirtcraft, which is a local certified soil manufacturer, and they're testing for these different things so that I can trust what I'm getting. So this goes back to my first statement at the beginning of the segment. I'll spend $30 on building a raised bed, but I'll spend $300 to put the soil in the bed. It's really important.
And again, done right, managed properly, you only have to make that soil investment once. And if you're growing and composting your own scraps and replenishing that to the soil, it's just a ongoing cycle from that point.
Yeah, exactly. And so then some of the other soil building techniques, we talked about woody mulch. A big one is, once your garden beds are established, you don't ever want to till them up. In the soil, there's this stratification of organisms that are growing in the soil. And if you go in and till it up, you're mixing all that up. You're destroying the soil structure that's in place. So I am a big fan of no-till once my gardens are established. In fact, the front bed gardens at the urban farm, I worked on them for 32 years, and I'd go in and the first 3 or 4 or 5 years on the front bed gardens, I just was the orchard soil that was there, and I backfilled with compost and that kind of stuff. When I left, those garden beds had 2 feet of soil on the top, just because what I'd been doing every year is adding organic matter on top and letting the roots and soil build itself. And when you do the tilling, it destroys that biodiversity that's in the soil. You don't want to do that.
Interesting, because and tilling, you think, oh, I'm getting the dirt loose and I'm mixing all these ingredients and it's going to be a better environment for the seeds to grow, but that's counterintuitive.
Yes, exactly. And if you have dirt, a good thing to do the first year is till it or double dig it. That's another process called double digging to get the process jump started. But once you have your soil in your garden beds, you don't ever want to till it. Just let it be. Right. The next thing is, you don't ever want to be using any chemicals in your garden. What we talked about earlier is 95% of everything that's out there, the bugs, the weeds, all that stuff, is actually beneficial. I'll get this happen. Oh my gosh, I have mushrooms growing in my yard. How do I get rid of them? And what I tell people is, if you have mushrooms growing in your yard, you're doing something right. That's a good beneficial microorganism growing in there that's really valuable for it. So don't use chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, glyphosate. Don't use any of those in your garden, because your dogs can run into it. Your kids can run into it. It's going to uptake into your plants and you're going to be eating it. So just avoid that. And then the other thing you want to remove is chlorine. You want to get the chlorine out of the water that you're using on your gardens. And so we sell a chlorine filter that goes on a spigot. But better yet, I would highly suggest that you put a whole house chlorine filtration system in place. And I actually installed my own at the urban farm when I was there. And I did it for less than $200. So if anybody's interested, they can email me and say, how did you do that, Greg? Be more than happy to share.
One of those emails will be from me. I'd be curious to learn more about that. Hang tight, folks. We got one final segment left here in the Urban Farm Hour with Farmer Greg. All Right down to our final segment here. We're talking today desert soil building and the proper way to do that and building good, healthy soil for good, healthy production. What do you want to cover here in the final segment? I know we hadn't hit weeds, and I know that was a big one we wanted to not miss.
Weeds are pioneer species. They show up first. They do the heavy digging. Often, like with dandelions, they actually make medicine and are edible. Purslane is a weed that grows in our yard. Mallow that's actually edible. So for all of the weeds that aren't invasive.
Mallow's that they also called California cheeseweed.
Exactly.
I've never eaten it, but every animal.
Yep.
Cows, horses.
Yep.
I've even seen the dogs eat it occasionally.
These are all non-invasive weeds that we're talking about. Lamb's quarters is another one. They're actually doing really good heavy digging for us. So oftentimes I will leave the weeds to grow for a while. And people often look at me funny. What are you talking about? So all of the weeds that we just mentioned have really good tap roots. The mallow will get 5 feet tall if you let it. You want to catch it before it goes to seed, for sure. And then what I do is they're about a 6-inch tool with a handle on it with a blade that's the carpet cutters. One of my favorite garden tools. That blade on that will cut right through the root. So what I'll do is I'll grab the top part of the weed, take the cutter and cut off the root maybe a 1/2 inch down into the ground. You just cut off what they call, I think it's called from my botany days, the apical meristem or the growing point. The root stays in the ground and rots in the ground. It puts compost in the ground. Eventually will leave an airspace that water can get in. So it's a healthy soil building process. And then for me, what I would do with the top parts is they go to the chickens. And you could feed them to whatever.
Goats.
Yeah, goats, exactly. When I say leave weeds, that's what I mean. And there's a plethora of them.
I was getting ready to tease you and be like, man, that sounds like a lot of work. I need to get you a sickle. But a sickle, you're cutting it off a 1/2 inch above ground. You're trying to get a 1/2 inch underground.
Underground.
Okay.
Exactly. And then we have our invasives, the Bermuda and nutgrass. I often get this question, well, glyphosate will take out Bermuda and nutgrass. It won't. I proved it. About 25 years ago, I did an experiment at the urban farm in a really small space in my front yard. The crack between the driveway and a garden fence that I had was just a 1/2 inch wide crack, and Bermuda nutgrass grew in there all the time. So I did an experiment with glyphosate, and I did exactly what I was supposed to do, and 6 months later, it was back. Glyphosate doesn't work on Bermuda and nutgrass, and it just pollutes your area. What you have to do with Bermuda and nutgrass is you have to dig it out.
That's a lot of digging.
It is a lot of digging, but what I did at the urban farm is I put in what I called weed walls. I went down 16 inches, I put a concrete footer in place, and I capped it with a red brick. My gardens were on the inside of that, and so I just had to keep my garden beds that were inside of the weed wall free of Bermuda and nutgrass. I learned about the weed wall when I moved into the house in 1989. There was a front garden bed that had a weed wall in place, and the Bermuda and nutgrass never grew in that bed.
Fun topic, weeds.
There is something in permaculture. Permaculture, I like to call the art and science of working with nature. How do we work in the flow of nature rather than against nature? And it's called sheet mulching. Sheet mulching is basically thick compost on site. So basically what it is you put down a layer and save your leaves for this. In fact, leaves are called leaves for a reason. You want to know why?
Leave them right there.
People rake up leaves and they throw them away wherever way is. And those are nutrients. Those trees are dropping those leaves in your yard and they're nutrients. So save them. And do a sheet mulch bed out of them. And what that means is you put wherever your garden is, you put down a layer of 3 or 4 inches of leaves, and then you throw some chicken manure on top of it or bioflora fertilizer, just a couple of cups on it to start the nitrogen process in place. Then you put another layer of leaves and then a little bit more manure and then another layers. You can go 18 to 24 inches thick with this lasagna. There's actually a book out there called Lasagna Gardening. What happens over the course of the next 6 months, that 24 inches will break down into 2 to 4 inches of really nice, healthy soil. That's one way to build healthy soil in place. And I did that a lot at the urban farm when I was starting my garden beds.
And you've got a couple websites here for resources for people. Why don't you give them out real quick before we wrap up this hour?
Perfect. HealthySoilHacked.com is a website that I run. And it's basically, it's a landing page and it'll give you all kinds of great videos on how to grow healthy soil in your yard.
And then the final question I have here really quick is we're really short on time. We talked about starting the hour with 6 to 8 inches of chip mulch. And then we talked about creating soil. Am I just getting the soil and putting it right on top of the chip mulch and starting my garden from there?
You can. And actually, that's what I've been doing here. I put down 18 inches of woody mulch, and then I built 20-inch tall garden beds on top of it and put the good soil in the garden beds. You don't want to garden with woody mulch.
Farmer Greg, we look forward to next month having you back in studio talking about getting your garden watered. That'll be a perfect topic for June here in Arizona.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for having me.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Urban Farm Podcast. Remember to listen for tips, advice, and resources to help you on your journey with urban farming. You can find us on the web at urbanfarm.org or send us an email to podcast@urbanfarm.org. In the words of Vincent Van Gogh, great things are done by a series of small things brought together. Be encouraged that with each lesson learned and skill developed, you are one step closer in the direction of your dreams.